Praise the Lord and welcome to the Len Paxton teaching series again this week. Now we're right in the middle. This was to be the last program on this subject, the cross and the Holy Spirit. I am concerned, however, that I haven't been able, for lack of words or whatever, I haven't really been able to explain it all that well, and so I won't leave this subject as long as that feeling persists in me. As I've told you many times, I think the biggest reason that I wanted to address ourselves to this is because we often are confused as believers when we find ourselves in a struggle. When we find ourselves in a position where we're doing everything we know to do, and we're saved, we're in Christ, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, we have God using our lives perhaps to reach others for the Lord, we have gifts of the Spirit operating in us, and yet at the same time we seem to have failure in our life at times. We sin at times. Now, let me say this, no believer has to sin, but every believer does sin. Okay, I want to say that again. No believer has to sin, but every believer does sin. It's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. And so why does this occur? And why are we, at times, dedicated Christians, loving Jesus with all of our heart, wanting with everything within us to please Him, to serve Him, why do we fail? What is the cause of failure in the life of a Christian? What is the cause of sin in the life of a Christian? And while there are many causes, actually it boils down to one thing. The believer not understanding how to properly place their faith in what Jesus Christ did at the cross. And so we try to come against sin in a variety of ways. And we think because we're full of the Holy Spirit, because we have the power of God, because we know the Scripture, whatever goes through our minds in those times, we think we can take on this sin thing and beat it. And when we lose, then we get discouraged and we get confused. And what I wanted to bring out over the course of these programs is exactly how does the Holy Spirit help us? And how does the Holy Spirit work within our hearts and lives? And we've been talking to you about the absolute necessity of you and I as Christians making sure that the object of our faith is the correct object of faith, and that we have our faith in what Jesus did at Calvary. He finished the work. He did the job. Amen. And as we identify with that, then we walk in victory. Why? Because we have the power and the help of the Holy Spirit that comes to us as a comforter, as a parakletos, one called alongside to help us. And the Holy Spirit leads us into the victory that Christ has already won. Now, the Bible speaks to us, and it escapes me right now exactly where the scripture reference is. I think it's in 1 Timothy. But the Bible tells us that we are to fight the good fight of faith. We are to fight the good fight of faith. And so that simply means, you know, we don't fight Satan, we don't fight demons, we don't fight sin. We fight the good fight of faith. And what is that? The good fight of faith is you and I as Christians simply placing our faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross and keep it there. I mean, we're going to be tempted to put our trust in some other things. As we go through life, things arise and it causes us to have deceptions enter our thinking patterns about ourselves or about a situation or whatever. And so we need to keep our thinking straight, as the old saying goes. We need to get our mind right. And we need to be able to say, look, I can't do this in my own strength, whatever this may be. And my help comes from nowhere but the Lord. This is one of the biggest reasons, too, today, why modern psychology does not hold the answers to the problems that beset fallen humanity. Is because while psychology does an excellent job of defining the problem, there is no power source attached to it to make you stop whatever it is you're doing. That can only come about by a changed heart. And that's why this message is so very important to us as Christians. Amen? Now today, we may stop today with this teaching. But at the end of the day, if I don't feel like that we have covered it, perhaps we'll come back a little more again and talk about this all-important subject, the cross and the Holy Spirit, some more. But the cross of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is the dividing line as it regards what the Holy Spirit does. It means that the Holy Spirit worked one way before the cross and now works another way since the cross. Let's go back to John 14, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, I will pray the Father, Jesus is talking, and he shall give you another comforter, one called alongside to help, that he may abide with you forever. Before the cross, bracket that in your mind, before the cross, the Holy Spirit could only help a few individuals, and then only for a period of time. Since the cross, hallelujah, since the cross, the Holy Spirit lives in the hearts and lives of all believers and does so forever. The scripture goes on to say, even the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of the truth, amen, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. This refers to the fact that only born-again believers can understand the Holy Spirit, and only born-again believers can know the Holy Spirit. Only born-again believers can know the ways of the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit does not use psychology to minister to you. No, the Holy Spirit does not use hypnotism, as one imbecile told me one time. The Holy Spirit does not use hypnotism to do his work in a person's life. Hypnotism, and I'm not teaching on hypnotism today. We're going to try to do a series on it, though, because it's evil and it's dangerous. But hypnotism is of Satan. So the person that thought the Holy Spirit was helping them hypnotize, really it was demon spirits that was helping them hypnotize. And this particular person was told, you know, this person used to go around from church to church because she enjoyed, you know, puffing herself up. And it's a particular person that I used to know years and years ago, and none of you know her. But she was told by every single decent pastor that she had a demon. And that's exactly the case. The Holy Spirit doesn't borrow from Satan to do his work, and only born-again believers can understand the Holy Spirit, and only born-again believers can know the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit dwells in the born-again believers. He used to only dwell with born-again believers. He used to dwell before the cross. Nobody was born again. They were saved by faith, looking forward to the Messiah that was coming. And the sins were covered by the animal sacrifices. Now, the question would be asked, why was the Holy Spirit only with believers before the cross instead of in them? And it would go back to that sacrificial system, and let's talk about that just a moment. Animal blood, which constituted the sacrifice, animal blood was woefully insufficient and inadequate to take away sin. Follow me. The sacrificial system really only served as a stopgap measure. It served as an atonement, so to speak, but woefully inadequate atonement. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote and said, but now, since the cross, praise God, has he, the Lord Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry. This is the new covenant in Jesus' blood. It is superior, and it takes the place of the old covenant in animals' blood. Now, let's say that again. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, that Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry. And that excellent ministry is the new covenant based on his blood. And that ministry, that covenant, has completely replaced, done away with, hallelujah, the old covenant based on animal blood. Okay, the new covenant is greater than the old. The old is lesser than the new, in other words. Praise God. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. This proclaims the fact that Christ officiates between God and man according to the arrangements of the new covenant. And this new covenant, the Bible says, Hebrews 8:6, was established upon better promises. This presents the new covenant explicitly based on the cleansing and forgiveness of all sin, which the old covenant could not do. You see, animal blood could never lift the terrible sin debt which man owed to God and could not pay. Therefore, whenever believers before the cross died, when a believer before the cross died, he was not able to go to heaven. All right? He rather went down into the paradise compartment of the underworld, which was actually a part of hell, separated from the burning part. The Old Testament believer didn't go to the burning part of hell. They went to a place called paradise. There was a great gulf, the Bible says, that separated the two. Read Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. All believers before the cross were actually held captive by Satan. Due to their faith, Satan was very limited as to what he could do with them, but they were still his captives. Yes, they had faith. Yes, they believed in the future of Messiah. Yes, they operated under the animal sacrificial system, which was woefully inadequate to pay the sin debt. When they died, they did not go burn in hell. No. They went to a compartment of the underworld known as Abraham's bosom or paradise. You can read as Jesus explains this in Luke 16. And they were in essence captives of Satan. This is what Paul was talking about when he said, wherefore he said, he ascended up on high, hallelujah, he led captivity captive. He liberated, Jesus Christ liberated the souls in paradise. Before the cross, despite being believers, they were still held captive by Satan. Because the blood of bulls and goats, ladies and gentlemen, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away the sin debt. But when Jesus died on the cross, the sin debt was paid. Hallelujah. And now he makes all of these captives of Satan his captives because of their faith. Praise God. Let me tell you this. You don't think of it this way often, but the old covenant, in essence, was a covenant of faith also. Hallelujah. But it was before the cross, so the object was insufficient. The object of their faith was insufficient. It secured them from burning in hell, absolutely. But when Jesus came, he took all the believers out of paradise, that compartment of the underworld next door to hell. He took them from there with him to heaven, praise God. And now, when believers die, we go right straight to be with the Lord. You see, the cross changed everything. The entirety of the sin debt was forever paid and settled by what Jesus did at the cross. Long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Amen. So Jesus took my sins away. My sin debt has been canceled. My sin debt has been paid. Yours as well, if you're a believer. Jesus Christ did by his blood what animal blood could never do. Amen. Now when a believer dies, and we speak about all time since the cross, when a believer dies, he immediately goes to be with the Lord in heaven. Praise God. I hope you got to watch that series we did on the rapture of the church not long ago. There's coming a great resurrection day. Praise God. And we're in Christ. We are in Christ. We are in Christ since the cross. Now, look at it this way also. We're in Christ since the cross. We're in Christ since the cross. Well, Christ died, so we died with him. Read Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. Christ died, so we died with him. Christ was buried, so we were buried with him. All of our sins were placed in that tomb. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Some of you would have a lot less struggle with sin if we could just get you dead and buried. Praise God. If we could just get you to identify with what Jesus did at Calvary for you and on your behalf. Praise God. When he died, we died. Well, he was buried, so we were buried with him. Well, Jesus rose from the dead. Praise God. We rose with him. Recipients of eternal life. Jesus said, everlasting life. Eternal life beats within my breast right now as a believer. Praise God. Never to die. Oh, the physical body will die. And instantly, because of the cross, I go right straight to be with my Lord in heaven. Praise God. The paradise part of hell is now empty. And read Philippians 1:23. Moreover, since the cross, the Holy Spirit instantly comes into the believer's heart, instantly comes into the believer's life at conversion, and will remain there forever. That's being born of the Spirit, and that's different than being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Like I told you a couple of programs ago, in this particular series, we're not discussing the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's a subsequent event to salvation. But at conversion, the Holy Spirit instantly comes within my heart and life to live because of Calvary. And this is how we obtain the help of the Holy Spirit. Due to the fact the Holy Spirit abides within the hearts and lives of believers and does so permanently, we now have the privilege of the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance on a continued basis. Read St. John 16:13. Also, as well, we have the benefit of the power of the Holy Spirit, which is unlimited power. How much power do you need? You get it from the Holy Spirit. His power is unlimited because he is God. And read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So basically, looking at it that way, we see how the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit, he can work in my heart and life. He can work in your heart and life. Because of the cross. Okay? Now listen to this. And I'm going to close this message today with this right here. Whenever Jesus died on the cross, thereby settling the sin debt, he settled it forever. Those sins that once plagued our lives, those sins that once held us in chains, held us in bondage, held us captive, will never be brought against us again because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. Glory be to God. What I was 20 years ago, what I was yesterday, what I was 20 minutes ago, what I was a moment ago, will never be brought against me again because of what Jesus did at the cross. Praise God. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember that I told you, It's possible for a Christian to be in Christ Jesus and yet walking after the flesh. And the reason that that happens is because the believer does not know how to properly place his or her faith. And the Holy Spirit cannot help us if our faith is in any other object besides the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he settled the sin debt forever, at least for all who will believe. This gave the Holy Spirit the latitude to work within our hearts and lives, which he gladly does if our faith is anchored squarely in the cross. Hear me now. You know, the Holy Spirit really doesn't demand much of us. But he does demand that our faith be placed exclusively, totally, in what Jesus did for us at the cross. Now, I want you to, this week, I want you to read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, and you'll see what we're talking about here. So when a preacher preaches the cross with believers placing their faith exclusively in Christ and the cross, this gives the Holy Spirit the latitude to work. This gives the Holy Spirit the latitude to exhibit his power. Praise God. And that power is almighty power. And this is the only way, beloved, for a believer to live a victorious, overcoming Christian life. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. Christ and him crucified, and my faith in what Jesus did at the cross. You could say it like this. The cross, your faith, and the Holy Spirit. When a believer places his or her faith in what Jesus did at the cross, that guarantees that believer the help and the almighty power of the Holy Spirit coming to their lives in an uninterrupted flow of the grace of God that will lead you into victory, lead you into being an overcomer in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's say it another way. Let's say that Christ is always the source, all victory, all power, all joy, all peace, all deliverance. Christ is always the source and the cross is always the means. Amen? Christ is the source. The cross is the means. This means, beloved, that the power of God cannot be exhibited except by and through the means of the cross. It is the cross of Christ which has made everything possible. That includes salvation, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, sanctification, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, answered prayer in every capacity, and blessings of all dimensions. It is all by and through the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise God. The Holy Spirit alone, beloved, the Holy Spirit alone can make us what we ought to be. Now listen, the problem comes when you are saved by faith but try to be sanctified by works. That's not God's prescribed order, and it won't work. And you'll struggle, and you'll fail, and it'll break your heart, and you won't understand why. Let me encourage you this week as we go off the air. I thank you for being with us. I'm concerned that I said this badly, but let me encourage you. Put your faith in what Jesus did for you at the cross. Trust in nothing else. Add nothing to it. Take nothing away. Trust Christ and what he did for you at Calvary. And he will set you free. And one day, the struggle will be over. Amen. The victory will be yours. The power of God will be yours. Amen. You can have it. Simply by putting your faith in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. This is a